You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And this podcast is brought to you by
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons.
Make sure to tune in on September 11th. We are talking about the episode Radio Bart with a special guest you may recognize.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. And actually, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
We're so excited.
Oh, this is so good.
This was one of our favorite episodes we've ever done.
Mark your calendars. I don't know. You're probably already downloading it. What is this life?
September 11th, we are joined by, you already heard her, Nancy Cartwright. We're so excited. Please tune in.
All right. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. And we had the pleasure of speaking to someone involved with the movie.
Hi, my name is Heather Graham, and I'm playing Dorothy Tyson in the movie The Last Rampage.
The Last Rampage is a true story about Gary Tyson and how his sons broke him out of prison. And it's a very dark story. And Gary Tyson is not a good guy. I play his wife, and I'm super loyal and devoted to him, even though he's pretty much the worst person in the world.
One thing I think is interesting about the movie is a lot of these movies, they tell a story about like, oh, this rebellious guy who was this cool gunslinger and, you know, he did it all these wrong things, but he did it for the right reason. And I think this story sort of turns that story on its head because it's got, at first you think he's a cool guy, but then you're like, no, this guy is just like a selfish, self-centered, narcissistic jerk. I like stories about real people. I think sometimes real life is stranger than fiction. Like, I mean, some of the stuff that happens, you just go, I can't believe this is real, but it's real. And then if you do more research, it's even stranger than the stuff they put in the script. It's just like, sometimes real life is stranger than fiction.
Don't miss Last Rampage, the true story of the prison break of Gary Tyson. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd. Find out more on Twitter by following @LastRampageFilm or on Facebook.com/LastRampageFilm.
Feral Audio.
Hello, welcome to the X-Files Files. I'm Kumail Nanjiani. Today we're talking about The Field Where I Died. And our guest is Ricky Carmona, your favorite. He's been on the show many times. Before we get starting talking about the show, I just want to plug a couple things. Follow me on Twitter @KumailN. And Silicon Valley Season 2 is on right now, so watch that Sunday after Game of Thrones, 10 p.m. It's a great season. We've had 4 episodes already. Episode 5 is up next. Episode 5 is really, really funny, and then 6 and 7, they're all great, so keep watching. It's sort of, you know, the first 4 episodes are sort of resetting the table, and then the next 6 are going to be moving the plot forward. So it's been really funny, but you'll see that it's going to start getting, like, pretty fucking intense. Amy Schumer, Inside Amy Schumer, had an episode called 12 Angry Men Inside Amy Schumer, which is a great name. And it's a really, really funny. The whole episode is a parody of 12 Angry Men. And it's 12 dudes in a room trying to decide if Amy Schumer is hot enough to be on TV. John Hawkes is in it. Paul Giamatti's in it. Jeff Goldblum's in it. Chris Gethard. I mean, so many amazing. Vincent Kartheiser, who's Peter from Mad Men. I'm in it. And it's just really, really, really... It's really fucking good. I'm in it not very much, but I would be recommending this, even if I wasn't in it at all. So please welcome Ricky Carmona.
What up?
So we're talking about The Field Where I Died. Now, this is a special episode. Because when Glenn Morgan was on, the writer of the episode, him and James Wong wrote it.
But was he sitting in this chair here?
He was not.
What?
He didn't come to my house.
He was at the studio. All right, valid.
Now I feel like I can have people over. Yeah. Like somebody, like you could come whenever, but if it's somebody that I need to kind of impress, you know? Now it feels like it's sort of ready. This wall is still a little empty, but what's up on that wall is index cards from this episode.
Professional shit.
Actually, I just bought them and put them in. Cut my finger open, bled all over.
Look at that.
Real nightmare. But Glenn Morgan gave me those, so I've been sort of waiting to watch this episode. I've been like excited to watch this episode because I know the index cards. I sort of remember the episode from before. And I know that this is an episode that was very important to him because he sort of wrote it for his wife, who I met Kristen, who plays Melissa in the
episode. That's his wife. That I did not know.
He wrote it for her because it's like about their love. And what I read was he had gone through a bad divorce.
Ah.
And so this was his way of being. And then she came and then everything was better. So he was like, oh, it's this sort of connection, restarting your life. That kind of thing, even though in this it's more explicit and it's more like a past lives thing.
Yeah.
But it's a thing of restarting your life.
That's crazy. I skimmed through the Wikipedia just really quick.
Yeah.
So I just saw like he wrote this role for her. She was on Space Above and Beyond. And I was like, oh, that's cool. They're just like trying to like promote their shit out there. I had no idea about like the whole like, oh no, he was in love with her and he wanted to like.
Yeah. And I met her.
Now that's very commendable.
Yeah, no, it's very commendable.
Romantic, you might say.
Well, and it is a very romantic episode.
Absolutely.
It's a very, very different episode from most other X-Files episodes.
Yeah.
Starting with the cold open where it's just... the cold open and the last scene are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's him reading... It's a Robert Browning poem that I looked up. And he's reading that. And the cold open, like... Usually there's a monster that kills things. Somebody dies. Something crazy happens. It's just Mulder in the field being sad.
Yeah. That cold open... Two thoughts came to my head. First off, that opening shot... I was like, oh man, X-Files is like kind of cinematic now.
Yeah.
Because it's like a long tracking shot like over this field. And before, I would think X-Files was cool because like, look, this show has that cool special effect in there.
Yeah.
And now this time I was just like, just by the camera movement, I was like, look at X-Files, season 5. They're like on some shit now.
Season 4.
Yeah. Season 4, I'm sorry. Right, season 4. And then the other thing was I could tell by it starting off. I was like, this isn't how this episode starts. We're in a, like some kind of weird time jump.
Right.
I'm in the middle of watching Daredevil right now. And I just watched an episode where I could tell right away. I was like, I don't think this is the real beginning of this episode. I think at one point we're going to loop back to where this moment is. And I don't know if the X-Files was doing it at that point there, but it was just like I tell, like, oh, this isn't how the show usually starts.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and it really is. It starts at the end. And what's also cool is that the whole, you know, there's like a sadness to this whole episode. Mm-hmm. There's like an inevitability.
Yeah.
It's the good people that they're trying to save. Mulder and Scully... They're not great FBI agents, but in this one, they really fully fail.
Yeah.
Everybody dies, including Melissa, who is sort of, in this episode, like they're soulmates and they've been together in past lives. The interesting thing about this episode, I think it's like really sad and it's really sweet and the music is really good in it. I noticed like...
Did you? I don't think I remember. I noticed the music other than like, oh yeah, this is like X-Files music. What? Does it have like a specific... thing to it?
Yeah, it felt more cinematic. It felt different from other episodes and that I'm sure there's, you know, the usual stuff that X-Files has.
Yeah.
But I feel like Mark Snow did something different with this one in that there's like a theme that plays that I haven't heard in the other X-Files episodes. In most other X-Files episodes, the music just sort of repeats. He takes from other, it's a pastiche, and he's going to do 24 hours a year. That's a lot. But in this one, it feels like it's just the music is sadder.
Yeah.
And even the music adds to this sense of like inevitability that she's gonna die. The big thing about this episode is, whenever there's an episode where if they go and find something crazy, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. When something crazy finds them, when you find out that there's something supernatural about them, it's harder to believe, right?
Yeah.
Like that Skinner has. You remember where Skinner has that? What's it called? It's not a harpy. What's that fucking? That he's got like some sort of demon thing.
Oh damn! film. That's right. Is that a, that's a, have they gotten to that one yet in
yeah,
the series?
Yeah, we just did that one.
At the beginning, I said I was going to try and like watch along with the show, but I have not. So every time something happens, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Where are we at right now?
That's happened.
That has happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in this
right.
one, the big thing you have to buy is not that Mulder is... It makes sense to me that Mulder would believe that he's had these past lives,
mm-hmm.
but the idea that it might be real,
yeah.
that's sort of a big buy. You gotta yes. sort of buy, like, that's a big thing, that there's past lives and that Mulder and this woman have had it. But if you buy that, I feel like it's a really sweet, sad, good episode.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a tough sell, especially when you first see it happen in the episode with, is it Melissa? I want to make sure I get
Melissa.
Her name. Melissa. When she's, you know, they're talking to her, and then all of a sudden she becomes like the kind of like the old man, like,
yeah.
It's such like an extreme thing.
So quick.
That you're like, whoa, what the heck is going on right
yeah.
now? And yeah, you're right. I think that's like an audience thing in general. In movies, I think it's hard for us to believe split personality. You know,
sure.
Like Primal Fear, it works in Primal Fear. You've seen that, yeah?
Well, it's a fake.
Yes. But like just the way it, like revealing it all the way at the end, I think is easier for us to go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we're just going to throw it at you right away.
Well, it's interesting.
You really got to take that leap with them.
Yeah, you got to take that leap with them. And Claudia O'Doherty, I don't know if you know her. She's an Australian comedian. She was on the last episode. And one of the last episodes also had a multiple disorder, personality disorder thing. Dissociative personality disorder is what it's called. What I like is that that happens and you're like, okay, that's a big crazy leap. But Mulder and Scully actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Where they're like, does this exist? Does this not exist? So they actually, and Mulder references the DSM-4, which is, because Emily's a therapist, I know DSM is like, do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
It's the scientific book of American, like, disorders that are accepted as disorders. So at one time, like, being gay was a disorder.
What?
You know? Yeah. So, and then being, autism was added to it not too long ago. So it's this, like, where they, like, every few years they put out, like, all right. Because, you know, it's not like, if you got cancer, there's a test, you got cancer.
Yeah.
With brain stuff, with like these disorders, it's more of you look at the symptoms and you gotta, it's harder to do.
Yeah.
So this is the book that's like, these are the accepted disorders.
All right.
So the fact that they
was Reefer Madness ever?
You know, it might have been.
Really?
There was some crazy shit that was in there.
That's
yeah.
funny.
But I think that's what it, you know, as we like understand human nature and what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, as we do that,
yeah.
you know, we're sort of, this is the book that sort of catalogs our journey
yeah.
through that. So like being gay got taken out of it not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know?
I do want to see that volume one of that book. Where it's just like, oh yeah,
my God.
People who write left-handed.
Yeah.
Crazies.
Right. My neighbor Craig.
Yeah.
He's a full monster. Being a witch.
Yeah.
That's in there. And, you know, if you put them in the water, they die. They weren't a witch.
Yeah. We yeah. have to test them.
Mm.
That's how we know.
Yeah. If they float, they're not dead, then you gotta burn them because they're a witch.
Exactly.
Basically, if you're going into the test, just kill the person.
Yeah, you don't even have to put that away.
I think that multiple personality thing, it's a tough, it's like it happens so quickly and it's jarring. But I think that that actress really commits to it.
Yeah.
Kristen Cloak Morgan is her name.
Mm.
Jen Morgan. She really commits to it. And there's a bunch of different, like, personalities that she has to do. And one of the ways that they sort of keep that reality real is that it's not a very funny episode. Most X-Files I've been watching, there's always quips. I can only count one where she says, Scully says, I wouldn't change anything about our time together.
Uh-huh.
Well, except for the fluke, man.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
And
that's very funny. But that's pretty much the only gag in this episode. So you have to sort of create this reality.
Yeah.
And I think it helps that she's really good in it. And Mulder, David Duchovny, is really good in it,
he's
too.
He's great in it.
When he's doing the past regression and he's crying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of long monologues in this episode where it's just a close-up and people just doing these long, intense, emotional monologues.
Yeah. I liked the other gag I caught. I did like the fluke worm thing. That was very funny.
Yeah.
But there's a moment where it's at the end and they're all like in the room with, what's his name? Ephesian.
Yeah.
And then it's like showing everybody and I think they all have their little cups. And then it's like this low angle, and it's Melissa, but you can tell it's Melissa as like the.
Oh yeah, she's that other person. That she's that other character.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's funny.
Yeah, you know, she's like, just like
she's being, like, hey, here we go again. Like that made me laugh. I thought that was pretty great. But yeah, and I think it's there is like this somber tone to the whole show, and it goes back to. There's this inevitability throughout it.
Yeah.
Usually there's days where it's like, oh man, I would love to work at the X-Files when they're like off chasing aliens and whatnot.
Yeah.
But to this episode felt like it's like, oh, that awful Tuesday. Oh, we have to go in and do what? Oh, these people are going to all kill themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, and they hate us. Oh, and it's over religion.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And Skinner is like, no bullshit. He's just like, get there now. Do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he even like stands a certain way where you can tell like, I don't want to hear anything. Don't talk back to me.
Yeah.
Here are the orders.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what Mulder's thinking. Just tell him what he has to go
just
do.
Just fucking make sure these people don't die.
Yeah.
You know they're going to die from the beginning because Mulder and Melissa can't be together.
Yeah.
And there's a the one thing I thought that was missing in this episode, because they're supposed to be these soulmates, and the idea, there's a bunch of great ideas. What I really like is this idea that these characters in different, these people in different sort of reincarnations have all been revolving around each other. So like,
yes.
Scully was his sergeant or lieutenant or whatever, and that Mulder and Melissa are sort of meant to be, but also not meant to be, and that they're going to fall in love and they're going to break apart again, you know? So I think that's very compelling. That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
What I really wanted was one scene of Melissa and Mulder really having a moment together.
Yeah.
Where she lets her guard down, because she sort of wants to go back to the cult. A moment where she's herself, not another one of her personalities, as herself, lets her guard down, and her and Mulder connect in this life.
Yeah.
Clearly a choice was made to not do that so that they connect. She connects as that older southern lady to him, mm-hmm. and that's a very powerful moment. But I wanted one where she sees something in him as herself,
yeah.
as the cult woman, and then still chooses not to do it.
It seemed like they were kind of heading to that. When one of, I think Melissa says, I want to believe.
Yeah.
Which is like the classic
right,
line.
Right.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I think the moment might have happened where they do create this idea to you, like, oh, wait, we all might know each other in
yeah.
past lives somehow. So I was like, oh, maybe this is now.
Yeah.
This is when you're finally meeting. But it doesn't. You can tell, like, it just kind of is. Is glanced over a little bit.
Yeah, because he sees the connection.
Yeah.
But she
does not.
She does not.
Yeah.
I know that this episode was 20 minutes long, so they had to cut a lot of stuff out. It's a big, tough, like, this episode, I think, makes a great movie. Not even an X-Files movie, just like a movie about FBI people and this happening. Past life stuff happening. When I was a kid, I loved past life stuff. Yeah.
It's very similar to, I mean, that's part of the concept built around Cloud Atlas.
Yes, I thought of Cloud Atlas
right?
watching this.
You know, it's Cloud Atlas, and regardless of what you want to think about the ending to Lost, but it's what you find out is one of the big reveals in Lost is like, well, actually, these are all kind of like different, whether you want to call them their souls or their spirits, whoever these people are, but somehow they're all connected.
Yeah.
And they end up here, and then they eventually will move on
yeah.
to this one place. This feels like this is a stop for Mulder and Scully and Melissa, and if it moves on, they will probably meet again.
Yeah, you know? And I think the one big thing about it is that it's such a big idea. It's such a
yeah.
big episode. It's very big. It's very complicated. A lot of stuff going on. And they pull it off. I think it's really good. I really think I would love to see the 20-minute longer version of it. Because this one is so big and sad and kind of profound, it's like, I bet the next week feels weird to go from this to just chasing a monster.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. So I think that aspect of it's weird. What I do like about it is that the X-Files, it shows how elastic the premise of the X-Files is, and that you can really, it could support so many different kinds of shows, right?
Oh, yeah.
It could support like a romantic culty one like this, but also one where they're just chasing a monster, or like a funny one. Like, and
yeah.
this really stretches it.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, it's episodic in nature. But there, I do wonder, I'm sure you know what the next episode is. I would guess that they would have to put something to like hook people back in. Like some kind of like an alien one, or like, Because, yeah, if you're not on board with this one, you'd be like,
this is interesting. I think everybody, like us, because you had this reaction where you remembered not liking
it. Not being crazy about it, yeah.
But now you liked it.
I watched it, and I was like, hey, this is really good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember this one so well. For some reason, I keep thinking of Field Trip, which is the one where they are ingesting the mushrooms by mistake, and it's all like in their head.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember this one a little bit, but I read the AV Club review, and that guy had the same reaction where when he was a kid, he didn't like it, and then you watch it as a grown up and you like it. And I think it's partially because when you're a kid, you just want to see aliens and monsters and shit.
Yeah.
And this is sort of a more meditative, this is an adult episode.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
So I could see why if you're like 14 watching this, you're like, I don't want to see two people fall in love. It's also a tough one in that at this point, the fandom, a big chunk of it really wants Mulder and Scully to get together. So I didn't read the message boards for this, but I bet a lot of people were upset that Mulder has a connection to someone else and not Scully.
I'm usually wasn't too crazy about like an episode that is about Mulder and maybe he had like, you know, like maybe he has a girl. You find out about Mulder's life outside the Bureau.
Sure.
I was like, no. But for this one, the fact that he might have had a relationship, but a relationship in a past life.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I can see Mulder doing that. That's much more believable to me than Mulder being like, oh no, I have a date on Friday.
Yeah.
You know, like that I just can't wrap my brain around.
I mean,
him believing that he was with someone X hundred years ago. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm on board with that. It just fits in that world.
In that sort of magical world.
Yeah.
Where it's more magic than science in this one. But X-Files totally has magic in it.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I was like, is there a way to make sense of this so that it's Mulder, that it's not real, the past life. But the one thing that for sure happens is that Mulder can name who he was and who she was.
Mm-hmm.
And Scully goes and looks up. I think Scully's journey is interesting in this because she starts off very skeptical. And that makes sense with how it's going. There's one specific moment where Mulder is under hypnosis as one of his past lives. And she goes, do you see a bunker? And to me, that was the first time where Scully's a little like, okay, I'm buying into this a little bit.
Yeah.
Then she goes and she looks at the old ledgers. I always love stuff. I hate now that you can just Google it in movies.
Yeah.
I like going, like, fucking looking through microfiche.
I was
going
to say microfiche is
great. Fucking scrolling through, like, old newspapers. That was a great time. And I like that she looks at these old ledgers and she just sees, like, handwritten.
Yeah.
That's how it used to be. People would just write down, like, these are the people that live in this village.
Yeah. Oh, shit, dude. There's a fucking great scene in Seven, and the dude who plays Ephesian is one of the guys in Seven.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Seven, there's that great sequence where, they're like trying to find out about Dante's Inferno, and like Brad Pitt is like at home going through stuff, and Morgan Freeman's in the library, and there's like classical music playing. But then later on, when they're getting close to the killer, they interview the guy who has like the thing strapped on to him, the weird knife strap on. Remember that scene?
Yeah, I know that guy.
The other guy that they interviewed is the guy who owns the club.
Oh.
Where that all goes down.
Because that guy
is Ephesian.
That guy with the knife dildo, he's see great. In a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's like a solid character actor.
That guy shows in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy is, as soon as he showed up, I was like, you're the dude from Seven.
Yeah.
The guy, sometimes they come in here with all kinds of briefcases.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
What a creepy.
Yeah, no, which
thing.
Is.
I gotta see Seven again. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Oh, dude. Classic.
That guy didn't look familiar to me. I was like, oh, this guy's good, but I haven't seen
really
much stuff. I wonder if there was one meeting where they were like, hey, Mulder, why don't you do the past lives? Can you do like an accent? And
yeah.
It's like, no, thank you. I'm not gonna do that.
I'm kind of glad he didn't go accent.
I'm glad, yeah.
Right?
It's tough.
Mulder, David Duchovny, there's something about his style of acting, and I don't mean this like an insult, but it's like very dry.
Yeah.
It's very like straight.
It's straightforward.
It doesn't seem like he's doing a lot.
Which is, yeah.
But he is doing something, because then when I saw him doing like the past life stuff, he would just do like these little changes to show like a little bit of emotion.
Yeah.
And I took it as like, God damn, Mulder can fucking act.
Yeah.
Man. This is great.
As the series goes, both him and Scully, definitely, you could see them becoming better actors.
Yeah.
And you see that Mulder is like sort of dry delivery, that there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And you're right, especially when he like outwardly shows emotion like that. It really makes sense. The thing that that makes sense to me about Mulder believing the cult thing is because, you know, Mulder wants to believe in conspiracy. He wants to believe that his sister is abducted, that he's part of some big crazy thing that's happening. And I think ultimately that's just about you wanting your life to be important and meaningful and magical and special.
Absolutely.
And I think the idea of him having past lives really makes sense to me, where he is trying to find some meaning in his life.
Yeah.
That's what his quest for the truth is. And it really ties into, you know, the fact that he would think that he's part of some special past life.
Oh, thing. For sure. I mean, I don't know if he has the ego to believe that he's like the chosen one or that he has but there definitely is like a destiny aspect to it.
Sure.
My sister has been taken, so it is my goal to find her somehow.
Right.
I'm the one who needs to do this.
Yeah.
I keep running into other people. Who else it has happened to?
Yeah.
So clearly something is leading me towards this. So him believing that there's past lives, I think that just there's another piece to the puzzle.
Oh yeah,
there
he's like,
go.
Oh yeah. Well, as soon as he like hears my past life, he's like, oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
Scully passes him the one note, and right away he's like, okay, no, Scully, good. It's past life syndrome,
here,
or
look at
whatever
this.
He calls it.
Yeah. She's like, what? That is a crazy thing to jump
yeah,
through.
Yeah, it wasn't like a back and forth, just right away, all caps. Yeah. This is what's happening, Scully.
I did learn, being a cult leader, fucking great gig. You have all these super attractive women that you're hooking up with all the time. There's a part where she's like, talks about when she's one of the characters, she's playing a past life and the kid. And she's like, he made him take his pants off. And I was like, oh, no. And he's like, and he spanked him. I was like, okay, good.
Oh,
I mean,
thought
that's
it was
terrible.
Ah, yes.
But it's good. And then when he says you're trash, he makes him sleep in the trash after beating him up. That's fucking brutal.
Yeah. I don't know if I can handle that seems like a tough
being
gig.
A cult leader?
Oh, man.
I'm not
lot.
Hitting kids, and I'm not, like, committing mass suicide. I just got, like, a interesting way of looking at the world. Part of that involves just having sex with a lot of different.
No, that's there is a plus side to it, no doubt. But like having all these weapons in case people come and want to take your weapons.
Well, that's crazy.
That,
yeah, that's not.
I don't want that.
It's a positive
that.
Cult. Really, I guess it's less of a cult and more of just like a sex family.
Or sex fantasy?
It's family.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're just like a sex family. We just have sex with each other. And
oh, man.
And when the kids... If we have kids, we're not trying to have kids.
No,
it's
no.
Best if we don't bring kids
we
into
this.
We should
not bring kids into this.
Yeah.
Oh.
If we have a kid, we give the kid up for adoption. The kids shouldn't be raised in this environment. That's not what this is about.
Not at all.
We're using condoms. We're all having sex. This is the cult.
We're not in holy water, these condoms are.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, if you want that to be part of it, great. Great. Well, if you wanted to be vegan, sure, that can be part
sure,
of it.
Sure.
I'm not saying it has to be, but, you know, we're playing video games, we're having sex.
You're a very cool cult leader.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It sounds
it's
awesome.
It's a great cult.
Oh, man.
Did you watch Kimmy Schmidt?
I have not watched Kimmy Schmidt yet.
It's great.
Yeah?
And
okay.
It's about a girl who escapes from a cult.
Right.
And it's really, really... I think it's really good. And it's 30 Rocks. It's, you know, Tina Fey and Robert Carlock who created 30 Rocks. It's great. Quick jokes.
I saw one scene from it, and I was like, I could watch this show. And... What's the black dude who's on the show?
Yeah, his name's like Titus, I think.
Okay, they're at some restaurant,
yeah.
And the girl comes up to him, and or before like the waitress comes over, he's like, "We need to act like this, and like
yeah,
that."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says, just like one of the punchlines is like Beyonce. I think
yeah.
She says something in French, and she goes Beyonce.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm in on this show.
Yeah, no, it's a big, crazy, fun, funny, very, very, very funny show.
That's funny that you say it's like 30 Rock. That show is very much like. Joke, 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 joke. Fire him out.
What's great about Kimmy Schmidt, it's like joke, 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 joke. But it's also, it's very dark. Because it's this girl who's been in a fucking underground cult for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they just hint at the darkness.
Okay.
Like at one point, there's a guy that she sort of starts seeing. And the guy at one point like comes up behind her and like puts his hand over her eyes like a guess who. Mm-hmm. And she fucking freaks out and she's like, don't ever do that. It's like, oh my god, what happened to her, you know? So there's like crazy dark shit that they hint at.
Yeah.
And there's a big like trial at the end about the cult leader. That's what the season builds up to. And it really gets pretty dark and heavy, and it's really, but it's really, really funny the entire time.
All right, I'll have to knock that out. I'll knock that out.
Yeah, it's great. So the sort of the framing device for this episode, what they're trying to do is they're trying to find where the guns are. That's like the mystery that they're trying to solve. And they're trying to use this woman's like past lives or one of her other personalities to get to it. So, and there's a ticking clock where they have like 15 hours. So there's a lot of like stuff that they have to lay up in front where it's like, we gotta get guns, we have this much time. And then the story that unfolds really isn't about that, because they don't find the guns.
Right.
The story is about like these sort of past lives thing.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool.
Did you notice or what did you think of? I don't think there's ever a time where Scully tries to trip up Mulder about the past life thing, or like Melissa about the past life thing. Like, ask her this question. See, she's crazy. What I tell you. I really like that that doesn't happen. Because I was like, that's how much trust Scully has in Mulder now.
Yeah.
And when it's a show like that, where it's been on for 4 seasons, it's always fun when you just get like those nice little gifts of like, oh yeah, I've been with these characters this long.
Yeah.
It's cool to see like, oh yeah, she wouldn't do that because they've already, this many things has happened between them. That would be like a waste of time. So
yeah.
She doesn't think like Mulder. She's like Mulder. Ugh. Here, I'm gonna prove you wrong.
Yeah.
She's like Mulder. This is the route where you sure this is the route we're gonna go? All right. We'll go for it.
Yeah.
I just really like that. When she had her chance to be like, all right, Mulder, we're going to put you through this past life thing. It was never to be like, all right, now ask him this. See, Mulder, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. That was just a right, nice little. Just a little something I caught. I was like, that's dope.
Yeah, like there's a part where Mulder is very, very, he's sad, he's crying and he's clearly devastated about this. And Scully, even though at that point doesn't fully believe him, she isn't like, come on, get off it. She's still like, because the reality is, even if you don't believe that your friend, even if you don't believe what your friend believes, the truth of the situation right then is that your friend is fucking devastated.
Yeah.
Like that part, the emotional part of it is true. And she deals with it logically, but also with compassion for him. I thought that's a good point. That was really well handled. Yeah, I wrote down DSM-4. Pretty impressive, I wrote. Just sort of patting myself on the back. Oh, we haven't talked about this. Watch it again. Mulder's having a fucking great hair episode.
But they both are having solid hair. Solid hair.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're like, it really has hit a stride.
Absolutely.
Their hair person really... Their relationships hit a stride, but also they've got the right hair people on. Like, this is like the peak, I think, of Daryl hair.
That is, however many writers that you've gotten on the show, I think at one point you should get one of the hairstylists on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And talk to them about like season 1.
Yeah.
And what happened in like season 4 and 5 when it just took off. Scully's hair right now is on point, but the last time I was here, I know I said some shit about like Scully, her hair. I haven't seen you in a while, Scully, but it's starting to happen.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen, girl.
Yeah, no,
oh,
it's happening.
Man.
Yeah, they're both peacocking. They're on fire.
Yeah. That's like Entertainment Weekly cover hair right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, and they are on the cover.
And they are on the cover. You're goddamn right.
It's like, you know, they got to start. They're like, listen, the show's getting big. We got to fucking figure this out.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
The basics.
Yeah.
Whenever I work on anything, I always ask the hair and makeup people, like, hey, who's the worst person? Can you tell me some stories about shitty people?
Yeah.
Because people who are assholes will still be nice to the director, nice to the other actors.
Yeah.
They can still be dicks to people that they think that they can be dicks to. So always the hair and makeup people always have the best stories. They're like, fucking this guy. I'm not gonna say any names because I don't want to get in trouble.
Once the mic turns off, I have several questions for you.
Because... And I've heard the same person being dissed by multiple different people. So
what?
I'm like, okay, so now for sure. Then when I tell you who it is, you're not going to be surprised. It's not going to be surprising.
Oh, this is great.
I like...
Also, too, I mean, we're talking about the hair. But another thing I noticed, too, for like technically, the lighting this time around, when they're speaking in shadows... like specifically when Mulder and Scully are having a conversation, and it's the scene where it ends with her being like, "But the fluke worm, I could have done with that." The lighting in that, again, it just season one, season two. You could see that they didn't have a lot to work with, and they were doing their best with what they had.
And they were doing great.
Yeah, absolutely. This one, they got money now.
Oh yeah, the show's ahead,
and it shows on screen. Like the lighting in that, I was like, man, the shadows in this are, just like it's a moody show, and it should look like this.
And it's a moody episode of a moody show because it is about, at heart, something romantic and sad, which is like you're going to meet sort of the same people that you've met before, and you're going to have the same relationships with them, and you're going to make the same mistakes. Samantha's always going to be gone. You're always going to fall in love with this woman, and you're going to, like, break apart. And because it is such a high-concept thing, I think that shadow and mood and the music really has to establish the reality, and it really has to, like, work with the story, because Melissa, with this multiple personalities and stuff, that can come off really goofy if the lighting isn't right.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite movies is Hellboy. I fucking love that movie. I was watching behind the scenes of it, and there's a shot of Hellboy, like, of Ron Perlman as Hellboy, just smoking a cigarette, like, out. There's no lighting, and I'm like, oh, this looks like shit. It looks so goofy.
Yeah.
And the lighting works so hard. Like, have you seen, like, Dark Knight, one of the best movies ever?
Yeah, great.
One of the best superhero movies ever, at the
very
least.
I think it's okay.
You don't like it?
I think it's very, 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 very good.
All right. Anyway.
We're not going to get into a whole thing. No. I don't even mean, like, you're crazy for thinking it's that good. I just mean, like, man, I wish I loved it as much as that.
I love it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if you see, because before that movie came out, some pictures were leaked that people had leaked, like, you know, of them on set. Mm-hmm. And you see the Batman costume, and you're like, oh, it looks like shit. But in the movie, you buy it.
Oh, for
sure.
Because
the lighting is right.
Yeah, absolutely.
The lighting has to create that reality. Like, then release a new Suicide Squad picture.
Yeah.
And people had all sorts of reaction to it. And I was like, well, I don't think the lighting is really, it just looks too glossy.
Yeah.
It looks like the kind of, I was like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on this yet. I think some of it looks cool. I think some of it doesn't look as cool. I think it looks too glossy. Like, in the movie, it's going to feel different.
Yeah, that's why I don't judge. Like, I don't even get excited anymore when they're like, here's a picture of so-and-so in the suit. It's not going to mean anything until I see him moving in it in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just, when they were doing Spider-Man, just like you said, they had a picture of him on set.
Yeah.
And people were like, can you believe it doesn't have this? Can you believe it doesn't have that? Why is it doing this?
Yeah.
Then you see it in the movie and everybody's like, man, the fucking Spider-Man suit looks great, doesn't it? Yes, because that's how it's supposed to look. What they show you, whether it's a cast picture or anything.
Yeah.
That's just to get you excited. That doesn't really do the suit justice, or what they want to do justice.
Yeah, and I think that that's exactly what The X-Files is really good at. Having that lighting creates a reality where you can believe that a guy can stretch himself through vents, and he needs to eat livers to survive. And you can believe that, you know, someone needs to eat cancer to survive, and that there's an alien conspiracy, and that, you know, that these characters have had these past lives where they sort of go through the same sort of patterns over and over.
Yeah.
The lighting and the music really, really, you know, sort of make sense with this. Rodan Mulder wants to be part of something bigger. He wants to have past lives. And you know what must be really hard? I was thinking hypnosis scenes must be really hard to act, because you have to be really emotional, but you also have to be really detached. In those scenes must be so hard to act. Because it's not like you're looking at someone and crying. You're like in a different world, but you're still emotional and still crying. It's got to be so hard.
Yeah, that's one of those where, like, the listening that has to be happening during that, like, on both ends, from whoever you're doing the scene with, and you yourself doing the scene. Yeah, because I would think, like, all right, I'm so-and-so acting, and we're doing a scene together. I have to make sure that my reaction isn't like, all right, here's how I, the actor, would react. All right, now this character that I play, now the character that I'm playing within that character, what would he do? Like, you just have to do, like, this double layer
of
thinking.
Oh, so hard. Yeah.
And it has to be that fast so it doesn't look like you're doing that.
Oh, no, man. I think you do all that preparation, and then the moment you're there, I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing that I just thought of that I hadn't realized is that the structure of the episode, the fact that it starts with the end, again, really plays into the inevitability of these characters are going to die, and that they've died in past lives. So you start with the end, and then you go through it, it really adds, it really speaks again to, I hadn't even thought of it, the cyclical nature of the structure of the episode speaks to the cyclical nature of everybody's past lives and living the same thing over and over. And that this is what's going to happen at the end. Now you're going to see how we get there.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. This is what's going to happen. This is how we get there. This is what's going to happen. This is how we get there. I feel like, I just realized the structure of the episode really works with the theme of it.
How'd they get away with this shit?
How did they get away with it? I mean, I think only a show that's either really unpopular or really popular can get away with
it. And at this point, it's the show, right?
This is close to the height of the X-Files. And they're doing, now they're like, it's cool where sometimes things get really popular and you're like, we don't want to disturb it. These guys are like, we're really popular, let's do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. That's when she says the fluke worm as well. I also wondered, like, man, is the show that good right now? Like, that hot? That they can reference
something 2 years ago.
And do they call it that in that initial episode, or was that her being like, you know, or is that her, it just seemed like said like they. Was the director like, no, we can say the name of that fucking episode. We can say what the name of that creature was. The way people in the real world call it.
Yeah, you maybe. Know? I think that's what you call it on the action figure, but I don't think that's what they were calling it.
Yeah, I don't remember them saying that in the episode. That just felt, no. That's just a very nice.
Yeah, it's like, listen, it's been 2 years. Let's just call it Flip It. We're going to have shorthand for all these episodes of our lives that we've had. Yeah, no, I thought that was good. And I think a lot of these one-offs don't always connect to the other one-offs. And I think that was a good like way to like connect it to a very traditional X-Files episode. Because this is a very untraditional, non-traditional X-Files episode. And calling back to that, I think really works in connecting this to that kind of thing. Like, hey, we're all in it's the same reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I really like the moment that Scully is given. She kind of has like a real vulnerable moment. Same thing where she just, the way she tells Melissa, well, I don't know how I would feel. She says something along the lines of like, I don't know how I would feel about having like multiple children
with the same
man.
Yeah.
And this is already after Scully was pregnant on the show. Like the character of Scully was pregnant. Does she have a baby?
We don't know yet.
Okay. Sorry, if you need
to... it's fine.
No. If you need to go back... Like,
I will say that they have talked a lot about Scully, because Home was just before this, and she talks about wanting kids and stuff. So her being a mom, or wanting to be a mom, has been a thing that's been coming up.
It's been coming up more. Yeah. Okay. There was a point where that was not a thing with Scully.
No, it is now.
Scully was like... This is what I do. I'm a federal agent.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was ever like, and I never thought like, oh yeah, Scully, I can see you having kids at one point. I was like, she's going to be an FBI agent for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
So her like saying that, I was like, look at you, Scully, having that like maternal.
Yeah. Kind of,
you don't see Scully have a maternal instinct.
Awesome.
Or I had not for a while. So to like see that so, and not like subtle, blatant like that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. All right.
In the episode Home, which the same guys wrote, which is the one with the Peacock family, there's that weird fucked up moment where the mom, who's this, who has no limbs and has been fucking her children for a long time, tells her what it means to be a mother. And it's kind of this like deep moment where she's like, you don't know what it's like to have kids. And you, Scully, like it hits Scully where she's like, I don't know what it's like, but I feel like I want to know, because they talk about that. Her and Mulder talk about it in that episode. So it's interesting that, because that moment, I didn't notice it, but you're right. Clearly, Glenn Morgan, James Wrong, who write these, this is an aspect of Scully that they want to explore.
Yeah, that's like I said, for jumping around to the episodes, that was one that really stood out. Like, oh, okay, this is where she's at now.
Yeah, yeah. The Kool-Aid thing is a pretty direct reference to the cult stuff. What's interesting is, so I have these index cards, and on this, they don't have the character names yet. And the bad guy's name is Koresh.
Yeah.
It says Koresh over there. So clearly there were, you know, in the 90s, there was a lot of this cult shit happening.
Well, they didn't... So they thought maybe they were going to use that name there as Koresh.
No,
or they were like, no, he's...
I think it was like sometimes when I like when I write, I'll use the names of the people that they're based on, and then I'll change the name later.
Yeah.
So Kristen, what's the name of the actress? It says Kristen on those cards, but later they change it to Melissa.
Yeah.
Which is Scully's sister's name, and I read something somewhere that at some point they were toying around with the idea of having Scully's sister be Mulder's love interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is weird, and then they get rid of her, and she was a very attractive woman. And I miss her every day.
It's based on, the crush thing. It's weird watching that now. All right, there's a room where a mass suicide just happened, or a lot of people are dying right away. And back then, we could see that in, you know, when the news would show it, you know, we have the breaking news.
Yeah.
Here's this fucking compound that's burning down. There's people in there. And you would go, oh, wow, man, that's crazy. I don't know when I'll ever see that again. And now it's the internet. And you can just look things up like that.
Yeah.
It's like when that happened at the end, and you see it go down, my brain is so fucked up. I was like, it probably didn't go down like that. I bet you I could look it up and see what something like that would really go down.
Oh, yeah.
Like that shock that the X-Files could have of like, we're going to show you this thing that you don't usually see on TV.
Yeah.
Now I was like, nah, you know what? You probably went a little different than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I did not feel proud of that feeling.
We're in a cynical age.
But there's a very creepy moment where Mulder is like trying to like get to the room. And
oh, it's so sad.
It could have been him opening the door, but I took it as like, no, maybe that person was still trying to hold on.
Oh.
Somebody like slumps over.
Oh,
and it might have been like him pushing the door open. But I also was like, man, that's fucked up. Like if there are people who like, oh no, everybody else is dying and I'm still here.
That's a tough moment where everybody's dead. I'm not dead yet, but I'm going to die.
Yeah, but it's going to happen.
Clearly the poison was very successful. You know that big bottle that said poison on it?
That's
the skull and crossbones? Yeah, that worked.
That worked.
There's a great little exchange that Melissa and Mulder do have in the I Want to Believe thing. I guess this is more of a connection than I thought, where she's sort of talking about, you know, you do the same things and I just want this life to be over. She says something like that when she wants to die. And Mulder says, no life is pointless. And I thought that was interesting because it's the idea that you make the same mistakes over and over. So to her, she's like, well, what the fuck is the point of this life? I'm just going to kill myself, come back and do it again. I want to start the next one. And Mulder saying no life is pointless is very optimistic because he's like, well, maybe we do the same things and make the same mistakes over and over, but you still gotta try.
Absolutely.
And I think that really speaks to Mulder's quest for the truth, where in some ways he knows, I'm not gonna blow this whole thing open. I'm never gonna find out really the truth, but I still gotta try. I mean, you know, it's going against the current thing that Mulder is really, really sort of known for. That's a big part of his character.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, he's like, it's the noble thing that he has, which I am, I am not a fan of that opposite way of thinking of, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
For what?
Nah.
You know?
We're all like, on the rock hurtling
I'm only
space.
Doing this because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I also find it hard to believe that people who say that, like, really? Because then why even leave your house?
You know?
There's nothing wrong with accepting there could be something more to this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, like, in a fucking spiritual sense. I just mean in, like, maybe it's not all for naught. Maybe it isn't all shit. There's a reason. Yeah. Whatever that reason is to you, it's okay to go off that. It's not like there's some big prize at the end.
No, you know, no, totally. I mean, it's all, you know, even if you think you don't believe in spirituality or a god and we're just on this fucking, you know, we just evolved from things that we just happen to have iPads now. Even then, we've created meaning, we've created society, we've
Absolutely.
Created relationships, and just because we made it doesn't mean it doesn't have real meaning.
Of course. That is always, I have a friend who is, he's very much in this, I don't know if it's because shit that he's reading or what, but he's very much into this, and nothing means anything, who gives a shit,
yeah.
Let's just go about our business and get to the end. Like, no, it's... It's not how it should work.
You could also be like, okay, nothing means anything, so I can kind of do whatever I want. That can be freeing in a good way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It just, yeah, it adds to this tortured soul. That line that he has. It's probably not going to work out for you, Mulder. Just because of the way this episode is being presented. But fucking it, you need somebody in that moment to say that.
Yeah.
For you to cheer for.
It's really, really sad when he's there and he's just slightly late and she dies. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And it's much sadder that he thought he could save her and he didn't. And, you know.
Because it is just kind of like, nope, it's they're not going to win. I love that she wakes up. You go, oh, she didn't take it.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you, girl. Oh, no.
No.
He's right there. He knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I got an extra. Oh,
guess what
I did miscount? Because
I have an extra one. This is so weird.
Oh, and she knows she shouldn't do it, and she fucking does it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like she's bought in. She clearly at that point is having second thoughts.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, for sure.
But that's sort of, I think, you know, the mistake that they've made before where one of them dies when they didn't need to die, maybe.
Yeah. And do you believe, I didn't think when Mulder was running there, like, oh, he's going to make it there in time.
No.
I was like,
I knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the episode starts with him looking at the old pictures.
Yeah.
And he's sad. You know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
The field where I died.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I didn't know she was going to die. And I mean, just that quick. I didn't know if she was going to die, but I was definitely like, whatever they're there for, that group is either all going to jail now. I also didn't remember how the episode ended.
No,
so
I
was like,
either.
Oh, nice. You took that fucking leap.
Yeah.
Like, that episode very well could have ended with them all being locked up. They find the guns. Everybody gets put off in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Station, you know, police trucks take them all away.
Yeah.
They were like, no, this is how this one is going to end. So I thought that was pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
no, it's got to be the saddest ending of an episode ever because so many people die. So many people die.
A lot.
Anything else you want to say about this episode?
The way she says bunker. I like how she says bunker.
Who?
B-U-N-K-A.
Melissa?
Yeah, yeah. When they're when she's like speaking in a past life.
Okay,
great.
Bunker.
Bunker. Bunker is great. God damn, her, that, I did laugh a lot. You don't laugh a lot through this episode.
Yeah.
But where her, when they come to them in the room, she's just like smoking.
Other character, yeah.
Oh, God damn, that is, that's great. I liked all that. I said Cloud Atlas is dope.
Yeah, it's just a good, very, very, very different X-Files episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think I got all my shit out.
All right.
I dug it very well. Very good.
What do you want to plug?
What do I want to plug? Listen, I have a podcast, an action sci-fi movie podcast with Rhea Butcher. She's been on your show. Cameron has Cameron been on the show? Or she
No, she's
watch.
Not into the show.
I was going to say, she doesn't like scary shit.
She doesn't. Yeah, it's not her show.
But I'm a regular, I'm one of the hosts on that, or a panelist, or whatever you want to call it. Listen to that. People, when I've been on your show, people tweet at me saying that they've enjoyed having me on here and that they've started listening to Wham Bam Pow. Shout out to y'all who do that. Thank you. I'm going on tour this summer. It's tour Threesis. Myself and two other writers from Tosh.0 show that I work on. That'll be happening in July to the East Coast people.
Oh, that's great.
I'll see you in July. Do good shit, everybody. To each other. Do good shit.
Just do good shit.
Just do good shit to each other. Be cool. Be cool.
Be cool. Give a shit. I already said the stuff I had to promote, Silicon Valley, Inside Amy Schumer, that episode of 12 Angry Men. And I'm going to try and stay regular with this podcast, but I might miss a couple weeks. I'm out of town next week, so I'm going to try and have one next week, which is going to be Sanguinarium. I'm going to try and do two episodes an episode when I can, but I might not be able to. Mm. So just know that it might be a little more sporadic this summer. But I'm gonna try and do the best I can. And
I saw that they were gonna take X-Files off Netflix. Are they not gonna take it off? Is it staying on there?
No, it's staying.
Did you have to have something to do with that?
I don't think so.
Oh, I was really hoping it was, dude.
I think it was one of those things where I think it was one of those where it was just the period was expiring.
Okay.
And they had re-upped, but it hadn't, like, gotten into the system yet or something. I don't know. It just was like they're not going to take it off because now they're making new episodes. This is when it should be on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Audio. Want to tell you guys about a really cool thing that Randy and I have been working on, and Dan's been involved in this as well.
Yes, we're building a fort.
We are building a fort.
In some ways, we kind of are.
A comedy fort of
one
sorts.
One of my favorite things that I see on social media is when someone posts a text chain between them and their mom, or them and a funny friend.
Or two comedians.
Two comedians, and you get to see the interaction back and forth, which is so fun. At times, there are text chains that we are on, the three of us, that the funniest things ever that only the three of us get to see. So we had the idea, along with a couple other people, wouldn't it be great to allow people to be a fly on the wall of these conversations that happen between funny friends of ours and funny people just back and forth. To us, it would be really fun. And so that is sort of the germ of the idea of a special app called Banter. And we want you guys to try it and check it out. All you got to do is sign up for it. It's free. Find it in the app store. It's called Banter, B-A-N-T-E-R. Get the app. It's free. And we want you guys to check it out and just pick conversations that are between two people. And the conversations play out in real time. And you get to hear it. It's curated. So nobody's going to be embarrassed.
Right.
It's the best stuff. But again, if you have a couple of minutes, you're sitting on the toilet, you're waiting for a train, you're hanging out somewhere, when you want something, because so many times this happens to me where I want
just a quick blast of something funny.
A quick blast of something and Twitter doesn't give it to me. I want to see this conversation happening between two really funny people and just get a laugh. We all need that in our day. So in order to do that, check out Banter and just download the app and let us know what you think about it.